Calories, cheat days, workout progressions, clean eating, smaller pant sizes, losing inches but not pounds, resetting goals, Weight Watchers, Bowflex, and of course your basal metabolic rate. Today is a special dedicated listener question and answer show on episode 68 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio. Jeff, has it stopped snowing in Canada yet?
Well, we had snow, quite a big snowfall here in Calgary on June 6th, which was just horrible. I mean, I was just waiting for the summer. Last show, we were talking about the summer. But how are you doing this week? How is your weight loss going? I know it's always great, nice and sunny down in California.
It's been beautiful. I went for a nice bike ride this last weekend, just really enjoying all that great weather. Salt and wound. But weigh-in-wise, weighed in this morning at 236 pounds even, so down just a fractional amount. And, you know, from last week's was last show, it was down 2 pounds plus, so that was it was not surprising. As far as my goals, eating goals, probably a good 7 out of 10. Exercise, a good 10 out of 10. Been kicking all cylinders on exercise. And so, motivation for the week, you know, still only a small loss for the week, but a 10 out of 10 of motivation, just really going great. Up my workouts here, switched from less long duration kind of cardio to doing the intervals that we talked about on a previous show. I've been really enjoying intervals.
Well, that sounds really good. And the thing is, weight loss is a day-by-day thing, but you really have to look how it is over the weeks to really get the feel of it. And you had a big week last week. This week was just a little bit, kind of averages out. So I'm really not upset about that. I think you're on your way.
Well, I'm glad you're not upset, Jeff. That makes me feel better. All right, so this show is going to be a little bit different. We're going to do an all-question and answer show. We tried to answer a couple questions on every show, but we know we get a backlog of questions, and so every once in a while, we get this show. Your questions and our answers.
All right, well, let's get right into it. And our first email comes in from Bill. And he tells us that he's already lost 35 pounds in the last 6 months and has about 10 more pounds to go. And he says that he likes our practical advice and relevant information that isn't colored by rose-colored glasses. And we'll just jump ahead to his question. And he wrote, "My question relates to cheat days. I've been attempting to eat more cleanly than I have in the past. Less eating out, more vegetables, no processed foods, sodas, lots of water, and a healthy serving of proteins, beef, chicken, eggs, and such. However, having been unable to totally give up some of the more calorie and fat and carb-rich junk food that I love, pizza, hamburgers, McDonald's, chicken wraps, I allow myself 2 cheat days a week where I allow myself the luxury of eating a meal or two of foods that may not constitute clean eating.
I've noticed that my weight loss has continued but slowed some. I exercise about 7 to 8 hours a week, alternating between cardio and weightlifting with more emphasis on cardio as of late. I've read research articles from trainers and nutritionists that give conflicting information about such practices. Some nutritionists and trainers assert cheating is counterproductive to our fat loss and fitness goals, while others insist an occasional cheat day or cheat meal may actually boost your metabolism. So here it is. Am I cheating myself out of sustained fat and weight loss or actually encouraging productive metabolic boosting through such a practice? Thanks for your help, Bill in San Diego."
Well, Bill, there are definitely 2 viewpoints on this. There is the textbook nutritionist / dietitian viewpoint, which is what I took in university, and it's very black and white. It is scientifically sound, and when you eat perfectly with tons of fruits and vegetables and lean proteins and no processed foods, etc., it is the most healthy way to live. If your goal is fat loss, eating this way will speed up your fat loss and be the most healthy way to do it. 15 years ago, when I was just out of university and was training people myself, I had this viewpoint, and there was a correct way to eat and a wrong way to eat. Now I see things quite differently. Now that I'm older and a lot more experienced, I believe it really doesn't matter if you are on the best, most perfect eating plan in the world if you can't stick to it for more than just a short time. For most people, including myself, following the perfect eating plan 90% of the time is much better in the long term and doable for most people for a lifetime.
So the viewpoint since the very start of this show was that we're advocating a lifestyle change for the rest of your life. Nobody wants to be on a perfect diet for the rest of their lives. If you ban certain foods forever, you will only crave them more. A listener named Tony actually just sent us an article the other day where a guy lost 50 pounds but refused to give up movie popcorn. He had substituted many things in his diet for healthier ones, but movie popcorn was his non-negotiable thing that he wasn't willing to give up. And we'll leave a link in the show notes so you can check out that article.
Now, to answer your question specifically, if your goal is to lose a specific amount of weight per week, cheating is counterproductive to fat loss. If you add extra calories from cheat meals, it will affect the calories in, calories out balance. Cheating hurts this equation. But your question was about sustained fat and weight loss. Keeping your weight off is much different. You have 10 pounds to your goal and you're still losing weight, albeit a little bit slower now, and you're starting to move towards your maintenance level. I personally am not too worried.
Now remember, we recommend eating 5 to 6 meals per day. Let's say that you eat 5 per day. That's 35 per week. Eating not so great foods for 2 meals per week still leaves you with 33 out of 35 good meals. That's 94% on task.
That's right. And one last point. A cheat meal can be worked into a program and still hit your weight loss and fitness goals. I have an average calorie goal for myself, and I've mentioned this before, but I try and eat about 100 calories less every day so that on Fridays I can splurge a little bit more, and that works for me. Many programs allow you a cheat meal per week. The thing is, you don't want to go overboard and blow your entire week's calorie deficit. You can also make better bad choices and still enjoy some of the foods that are bad for you once in a while. Pizza, for example, you don't have to have 5 pieces. 2 or 3 is probably enough. Even the McDonald's chicken wraps that you mentioned, get the grilled ones instead of the crispy. So you can still enjoy the foods that you like that may not be so healthy and still have better versions of it.
All right, good. Well, we're going to go on to question number 2 here. And this one is a comment that was on the website, and it was from Linda. I'm 58, would like to lose 10 pounds, and have been trying to do so for longer than I would like to admit to. My typical walk is at about 4.3 miles per hour. Incline at about 4%, and I work out 5 times a week. Then my mind does not say good job, but rather, well, now that you have done an hour, next time make it an hour and 15 minutes.
Of course, the body kind of refuses the next time, so an hour it is. I would like to be told, okay, get off at 45 minutes and that is the perfect workout for you, or only do this 3 days a week. When reading and hearing how to start an exercise program, it's kind of straightforward, but once you're at your higher levels, it seems hard not to keep pushing yourself to do an extra half hour or an extra mile or extra, extra, extra. So my question is, A, do other people struggle with this upping the workout game? And B, how do you control this upping game? Lastly, I think those nasty 10 pounds would disappear if I could give up that red wine. Tough choice. Thanks, Linda.
All right, so first of all, everything else being equal, if you drank 1 glass of wine per day and gave it up, it would take you about a year to lose those nasty 10 pounds. Wine is somewhere around 100 calories per glass. 10 pounds is 35,000 calories. In 350 days, you have a 35,000 calorie deficit. So secondly, wanting to increase your exercise more and more is very common, especially with running. As you get better and stronger, it feels good to be able to go farther and faster. There's also this phenomenon called the runner's high, where even beginners can get this feeling of just being in this perfect zone while running.
I've actually heard it called moving zen, where long-distance runners seem to be in a meditative trance. Believe it or not, if you take a beginner's running class that is 8 or 12 weeks long, after a month or two, the problem is not to get people to do their runs on their own during the rest of the week. It is to keep them from running too far. Everyone says that running is so bad because so many people get injured from a variety of overuse injuries. People get overuse injuries because they go too hard, too quick. Running is just the most common place where this seems to happen to people, but it happens in many other activities as well.
On a recent show, we talked about having to make your workouts just a little bit harder every time. The key here is only just a little bit. In your case, distance is only one thing you can increase. You can still increase the speed, the incline, the time at each percentage of incline, and you can change it around with some fast runs, interval training, or steep, slow climbs.
And I think the real key here is planning. Plan out your next 30 or 40 workouts with goals that very gradually increase. It's better for your body in the long run, and you won't have to worry about overuse injuries if your body has time to adapt. There's also this logical conclusion that if you add just a little more speed and a little more time, in a couple of years, you're going to be sprinting for hours at a time just to keep up. I'm going to introduce a new concept here that we'll discuss on an upcoming show called periodization. You generally don't keep increasing your workouts forever. Generally, 4 months is about the upper limit. How it works is at the end of a four-month cycle, you start the progression over again. Not at the very start, but a little bit higher, and the goal is that at the end of this cycle, you'll be at a new higher point. Then you start it over again. This is really a key for people who seem to train continuously all year long. They don't just keep doing the same stuff, and they don't just keep making it harder and harder. The easiest way to think of it is if you think about a marathoner who runs 3 marathons a year. They will peak at race time and then take it easy and gradually build up for the next race, and hopefully they get a better time in every single marathon that they do.
Ah, sounds interesting. Can't wait to hear more about that. But let's get on to our question number 3. It is from Katrina, and she wrote here, I've been listening to your podcast show since the start of the second season. I find it very motivational and informational. Thanks for all the hard work that goes into such a great show. I have a question, though. I've heard you say eat like a thin person more than once, but I'm a little confused at finding out how many calories I should be eating. I'm a 45-year-old woman who is 64 inches tall and currently weigh 145 pounds. My goal weight is 130 pounds, and I exercise 3 days per week. According to your chart, the BMR for the 130-pound goal should be 1,310 calories. Then adding my exercise of 3 days per week raises it to 2,031. My question is, in order to get to my goal weight of 130 pounds, do I eat 2,031 calories a day, or do I eat the 1,310 calories, or somewhere in between? It's hard for me to believe that I can eat 2,031 calories and still lose weight. Am I missing something? Please help. Katrina.
Well, I would say that over 99% of the population has absolutely no idea of how much food they should be eating. All that people hear is how much they should be eating when on a diet. They'll hear that a starvation diet is below 1,000 calories, and things like Nutrisystem and Jenny Craig are between 1,250 and 1,500 calories, but nobody is trying to spread around how many calories you should be eating to maintain your weight. People are absolutely shocked when they see the amount of calories that you can actually eat and still be a thin person. I plugged in your numbers, and for a 45-year-old woman who's 5'4" tall and works out 3 times per week, gets to eat just a little over 2,000 calories per day to maintain that goal weight of 130 pounds. You don't have to starve to be thin. If you eat the calories of your goal weight right now and for the rest of your life, you will eventually get there and stay there for the rest of your life. You can eat a little less to speed up the process, but you never ever eat below your basal metabolic rate. The only question that I see here is that you're right on the line between the lightly active person and the moderately active level. So your range at your goal weight is somewhere between 1,800 to 2,000 calories based on how hard your workouts really are. So the most important thing here is that you never eat below your basal metabolic rate, and as long as you're close to what you should be eating at your goal weight, the weight is going to come off.
All right, moving on here to question number 4, and this one is from Donji. This email was similar to the last one in that Donji is amazed that they can actually eat so much food. And here is the last part of their email. Though I found this to be a great relief as I did feel pretty hungry at times during the past few weeks, I'm actually finding it very difficult to eat 2,200 good calories per day. And I usually spend a lot of time contemplating whether I should eat something or not because I'm trying to balance the nutrition in my foods as well as possible. Anyway, my question is, at this point, should I be concerned more about maintaining a very good nutritional balance, or should I just focus on eating those 2,200 calories? Also, is it a good idea to shoot for something a little under that, such as 1,900 to 2,000 calories, in order to account for any errors? Thanks again, and keep doing what you guys are doing, Donji.
Well, I have 2 points for this question. Number one, eating non-processed foods that are not very calorically dense is the way to go. If you're eating tons of fruits and vegetables, good complex carbohydrates and lean proteins, you'll be eating much more food than you probably ever did. If you spread this out over 5 or 6 meals, the most amazing thing will happen. You'll feel guilty of eating so much, you will never feel hungry, and you will be losing weight. I'm sure that 80% of our audience is cursing you right now for that horrible, horrible problem that you have. But if you are feeling full and satisfied and you are under your calorie goals, I wouldn't worry about a couple hundred calories. I wouldn't eat crap just to make up the calories if you're under. And point number 2, about the errors in calculating calories. I have come across a few studies in the last couple of years that found that even the most diligent person generally underestimates their calories by about 10%. So I think it's a good idea to keep that in mind. Personally, I usually round up to the nearest 50 calories or so when I'm keeping track of my ballpark calories during the day. It's not going to hurt you if you eat a little bit less than what you think. It's a lot easier to eat more than what you think.
But yeah, I do a similar thing, Jeff, when I'm counting calories. I'll go ahead and round up. If it's 45 calories, it's 50. If it's 75 calories, it's 100. And just go to the round numbers and generalities.
Even when you look at things and the calories say it's 232 calories, it's like, just round it up to 250. It's probably closer to that anyways.
Yep. Okay, so let's move on to question number 5 here. And this one is from Sean.
And he wrote, "Hi, guys. I'm a relatively new listener since March of 2009. I found your show because I'm currently changing my eating habits and found your information to be useful and the show very well done. I've gone from 264 pounds to 225 since October of 2008. I'm 6 feet tall and generally a big guy. My goal weight is somewhere between 190 to 200 pounds. Here is my question. I seem to have drastically slowed down on my weight loss the last 2 months, which I expected. I'm kind of hovering between 220 and 225 now, and although I don't seem to be losing weight, I still am going down in size. Pants that I bought 2 months ago are now too big to wear, and I'm having to get new pants again. I do a lot of cardio exercises during the week with a small amount of weights just to keep toned and not necessarily build muscle mass. Have I hit a plateau?"
So Sean, I got to ask you, why does the weight on the scale matter? You might have hit a plateau, but why do you care? You're still losing inches, which is awesome. It also looks like you're doing everything else right. You're doing cardio, lifting weights, though through your own admission, you could probably be lifting more. And also remember that old adage, muscle weighs more than fat. You might still be in a certain category as far as BMI. Being 220 to 225 pounds at your height does put you in the obese category. But that category doesn't take into account your body fat percentage. And as we mentioned here on the show, BMI is really only good for comparing large populations of people. Each individual is exactly that, individual. So your 225 might be a 20% body fat, 225, pretty good. Meanwhile, my 225 might look a little more like 25% body fat and jiggle around a little more. Everybody's different. So going back to why does the scale matter? When you look at why you wanted to get healthy, lose weight and fat, what was the real reason? Were you going to get a tattoo on your forehead that told everyone how much you weigh? If you're like most people, you called it losing weight. But in actuality, you just plain wanted to look better. I know that right now, this is the biggest thing for me. I'm not caring so much about my weight right now. I've switched over from those long duration cardio to the interval workouts. I've also added more strength training. Why? I'm going to be heading to the beach and some water parks this summer with the kids. I could care less if someone knows how much I weigh or that I've lost weight. I care if I look good. I want to not think twice about taking off my shirt when I get to the beach and wonder if I'm the fattest guy on the beach. So in summary, for the last 25 pounds or so, focus on getting your body fat down, building some muscle. You won't be building that much muscle, Mr. Olympia, and defocus on the scale. I'll bet you'll get there in short order.
Yeah, that's a great problem to have. You're not losing much weight, but your clothes are getting bigger and bigger on you. That's what everyone really wants.
Yeah, it's a little bad in the pocketbook, but it's a great problem to have.
Of course, it's always better to be buying smaller clothing than wearing stuff that's skin tight all the time and then eventually forcing yourself to go out and buy some bigger clothing. So it could be worse.
All right, well, let's get on to question number 6. It is from Bridget.
And she wrote, "Thanks so much for the show. You two do a terrific job. The mix of inspiration and information is just right for me. I'm hoping you can help me with my situation. I have recently lost weight. 7 months ago, I joined Weight Watchers. I found there is quite a bit of flexibility in the program, and I've modified it to use suggestions that I think you'd agree with. They don't specifically have you eat a lot of healthy snacks, but I do. Their guideline is 1 to 2 lean protein sources a day, but I try to have one with every meal or snack. Also, I always eat the maximum number of points that they recommend. I like eating. As a result, I have lost over 25 pounds in the last 7 months. I'm a 5'5" woman, age 45. I started out weighing 156 pounds. Now I weigh under 130. I look and feel great. Just yesterday, as I was doing yoga, I was thinking, wow, even yoga is easier since I lost weight. Naturally, when I had that thought, I immediately fell out of the yoga pose.
My question is about my goal. I set a goal for myself of 125 pounds. That puts me on the low end of a healthy BMI. My problem is that I broke the 130-pound barrier about 2.5 months ago, and I've been struggling to lose that last 5 pounds since then. There's no real mystery here. I've exercised 5 days a week at a moderate or intense level for 30 to 40 minutes doing running, machines at the gym, or biking. I also do strength training. If I were to change my exercise, it would be to add more stretching for flexibility and relaxation or add more variety. I'm planning on trying out an Aikido class this week with these ideas in mind.
The issue is with my mental game around food. I typically comply with my eating plan for a few weeks, get close to 125 pounds, then have a couple of non-complying weeks and backslide. I decided to up my mental game for the next month and see what happens. Writing you is part of that strategy. I don't know if my goal is realistic. My Weight Watchers leader thinks that I should change my goal to 130 pounds. Her reasoning is that if I'm having so much trouble getting to 125, I'm going to have trouble maintaining it. Intellectually, I don't think that can be true because the calorie difference on maintenance really isn't that great. However, maybe she's right. I know I don't want to be one of those people who constantly obsesses over the 5 pounds, yet here I am obsessing over 5 pounds. Maybe this is my body's way of telling me that 130 is the right weight for me. Maybe I have emotional issues I have to yet unearth about 125 pounds. Since I set this goal, I want to see it through. I don't like giving up on my goals, but maybe in this case I should. Would you two mind weighing in, so to speak, on my issue? Thanks again for the great work. Bridget.
Well, I'd say without all the information like how many calories you're actually eating, I would guess that you're eating the correct number of calories for a woman who's about 130 pounds. It's always interesting to hear from Weight Watchers patrons. It's all about the points. The point system is great at the beginning of a weight loss program, but as you get closer to your goal, you really need to get technical, geeky even, on the calorie front. I suggest it's time to ditch the food to point book and translate those into calories. Check out our BMR calculator at the website and see how many calories you should be eating versus how many you are eating right now. Now, second point, which is also a little bit negative about Weight Watchers, is why is your leader telling you to revise your goal upward? You've only been on this healthy lifestyle for 7 months. You've had some great success, but it's not time to revise goals and give up. The Weight Watchers leader is just plain wrong. You know, you got to stick with their goal and get to it, you know, and maybe, you know, you'll revise it later, but stick with your goal and get to it. And it's, you know, it is on the low end of the BMI. Right now you are in a normal range at your 130 pounds, but you are still in normal range at 125. And you're right. It is a very small difference in that maintenance calories between the two. So again, sum up, get technical, get geeky and count your calories and continue to kick butt working out and dump Weight Watchers.
And another thing that I want to add in, you were talking about maybe it's just the mental game that you have around food. And I really do see that. If you look at the difference in calories of 5 pounds, it is minuscule. It's almost nothing. For a lot of people, when they get close to their goal weight, and I mean, this is probably a really good goal weight for you that you've been struggling this long, they really don't think that they deserve it. And maybe subconsciously, you're starting to self-sabotage yourself. And this happens to quite a lot of people. They don't really believe that they deserve to be this thin. Now, I know I'm really psychologizing here, but the mental aspect is one of the major reasons why a lot of people put back on the weight. They get out of their comfort zone. If you have not been down to 125 or 130 pounds for very long and you've been heavier for years and years, it takes a while to get comfortable with your new body. So for your maintenance level right now, I don't think you really have to be counting points and following any system really specifically right now because this is the rest of your life. I think eat all the healthy foods that you know about, eat frequently like you have been, and just keep tracking what you're eating, and if you're gaining some weight, cut back a little bit. I mean, this is the rest of your life. You're at your goal. You don't want to think, I'm just getting off my diet right now and trying to live. No, you're just eating this lifestyle now for the rest of your life. So hopefully there are some points that you can get out of there with all of our babbling here, but 125 pounds is not a goal that you're going to give up on when you're only a couple pounds away.
You know, I think it's interesting, Jeff, that your advice is more about the maintenance part because you're really on the maintenance. Mine really is more geared towards getting to that goal, which I'm still my journey to my goal. So I think it's very interesting.
Well, I've actually struggled in the past. When I think back to times that I've lost weight, I'm used to being 40 or 50 pounds heavier. And, you know, I'm not the tallest guy. So most of my friends are, you know, 5 or 6 inches taller. And when I lose weight as a man, I kind of subconsciously think that I'm kind of wimpy. And I think that in retrospect might be some reasons why I put a little bit weight back on. It's kind of like you see these football players that they're trying to bulk up, but they're really just getting fat because they want to appear larger. It's kind of a weird psychology thing that I've experienced with, and I know when I'm at my goal weight, which I have been for quite a while, but it's still a struggle once in a while because I'm not 100% convinced that I am a person of this weight yet, even though I have been for quite a while. So once you get there, you are a new person. It takes a while to get used to it.
Interesting. Well, good. Well, let's go on to our seventh question here on the show, and it is from Brenda.
And she wrote, "Hi, Russ and Jeff. I have a question that no one seems to know the answer to, so I thought I'd ask you guys for help. I've been thinking about using a tape measure to measure my success rather than a scale, because I just can't take all of the random fluctuations in my weight anymore. It's driving me crazy to be down a pound one day and up 2 pounds the next, when I know I've stuck to my program and I'm losing inches. My question is, what's a good monthly goal to shoot for in regards to inches lost? I was trying to lose 5 pounds per month, but I have no idea what that translates to in inches. Thanks so much for any info. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Brenda."
All right, so Brenda, in general, these are generalities here, you'll probably lose the fat first in the last place that you put it on. But the fact that no one knows the answer should give you a good idea what the actual answer is. It depends. Everyone puts on and loses weight differently. Myself, I put on weight pretty much evenly, though over the last couple of years, it seemed to settle in the belly and chest area. Now that I'm losing, it's coming off there the slowest, which is unfortunate. Meanwhile, I'm fitting into smaller size pants better and better each day. Also, being a woman, your menstrual cycle will cause different water retention than a man, so that's going to be totally different for you. Now, if you're being driven crazy by the daily fluctuations, I have a couple suggestions. First, change the batteries in your scale. Your scale should read the same every time you step on it in a rapid succession. If you do it, you know, 4 or 5 times, it should give you the same number every time. Now, if there are fluctuations, then it could be a weak battery or it's time to get a new scale. So second, assuming your scale is working, always weigh yourself at the same time of day, every day. Now, wake up, you know, head to the bathroom, have a routine, you know, use the toilet, and then weigh yourself. That's what I do every morning. And so thirdly here, don't weigh yourself every day. If you're keeping a tight rein on your eating and you're exercising regularly, there's no need to weigh yourself every day. The once a week weigh-in shouldn't be enough. And instead of seeing that little 0.2 pounds a day you might have a weight loss if, you know, there's no fluctuations, the next time you step on that scale, you're going to see 1 pound or 2 pounds come off. And that's really cool to see. It seems like it just fell away like without any problem at all. So those are my suggestions.
That's right. I know people who actually have lost weight like in their hands and their neck, you know, places that you really wouldn't think of. And it just happens to be where they happen to keep the fat. So I would suggest weighing lots of different things every week and you'll see progress all around your body. The more things that you measure, the more things you can have progress each week.
All right. We have one more item here to share with you. And it is actually from just the last show about the Bowflex. Now, we've had a ton of emails and comments. You're purchasing a Bowflex, Jeff, and giving a review on last week's show was very popular.
And Wendy wrote, "I just wanted to say how much I enjoyed your Bowflex podcast. What I took away from it, more than just a great review, was the fact that you can work out at home. There are many valid reasons why people cannot join a gym. Sometimes the price is a factor, while other times lack of options is a problem. Not everyone lives in a large town where there are lots of gyms to pick from. I have lost over 140 pounds and have never set foot in a gym. My home gym started with my TV and DVDs, a few hand weights, and my dog. At the end of 2008, we added an elliptical machine to the mix. What I enjoy most about your podcast is that you continue to drive home the fact that there is no magic fix, no diet, no pill that is going to change you. You have to change your lifestyle and live like the thin person you want to be to achieve your goals. In addition to no diet, no magic pills, I want to add no excuses. Almost everyone can get up and do something. Start small with a few minutes around the block or 5 minutes of a DVD and work your way up. If I can do it, anyone can. I am a homeschooling mom with 4 kids, ages 1 to 11, and I find time almost every single day to work out. Yes, I have to sacrifice a little sleep to fit it in. However, it is so worth it. It is hard to be fit, but it's hard to be fat. I would rather be fit. Thanks again for all of your wisdom, Wendy."
That's very cool. And I said, so many people weighed in on that Bowflex, and I think you really struck a chord there.
Well, I think the thing about this email is it doesn't matter what your home gym is, everyone can do something at home and have a positive impact on their life just by, you know, it's a little bit of dedication and getting it done.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a Bowflex here. I have my elliptical and a little bench and some weights and, you know, the fitness balls, and I get a great workout here at home without having to leave the house too. So it's Yeah, there are lots of different types of gyms you could create.
Well, with all of these questions that we answered this show, we still have quite a few to still get to. And if we don't get to your question on the show, don't worry. We do read them all, and we will be answering them in future shows. We'll bring them up in topics, and we'll make sure that we mention so that all of these emails and questions that we have in the background of our minds, those answers will be coming in future shows.
Yep. And again, there are a few ways for you to get any future questions here to us. The first way is to leave a comment over on our website, fat2fitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
You can also leave us a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button over on the website at fat2fitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com. So, Russ, all of these emails have made me hungry. What do you have for the recipe this week?
Well, Jeff, how do you like shrimp?
I love shrimp, especially the jumbo shrimp.
Oh, jumbo. Good. Well, this is your lucky day because I am normally chicken public enemy number one. I think more recipes have on the show here have been about chicken. But I have chosen today the grilled rosemary garlic shrimp recipe here from the barbecue section on about.com. And, you know, I've had some shrimp here recently and put them on the barbecue, little bamboo skewers through them and a little bit of a little coating of olive oil. And, you know, I didn't put any rosemary on it. And this gives you just a little different taste. So check out this recipe. Link in the show notes here for grilled rosemary garlic shrimp.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Good. Jeff, what kind of homework do we have for all the lovely people at home this week?
Well, this week we received quite a lot of feedback about our calorie calculator that we have over at fattofitradio.com/BMR. Almost everyone was surprised with the actual amount of calories that they will be able to eat at their goal weight. If you don't know this magic number, the homework this week is to head over to the website and plug in your information to find out. After you find this out and you know what your maintenance level will be when you hit your goal weight, try eating at those calories right now. If you can do this for a few days, you can live at your goal level for the rest of your life. So simply head to fattofitradio.com and click on the link at the top right that says BMR to find out this magic number for yourself.
All right, good. Yeah, I had a couple people checking that out this week, so really good idea. Jeff, what is our motivational quote to end the show here?
The quote this week comes from Tom Venuto, who we had on the show a couple months ago. And his quote was, "If people were as creative in coming up with solutions as they were in coming up with excuses, there would be a lot fewer problems in the world."
That's a good one. All right, Jeff, good questions here this week people asked, and I think some pretty good answers. So I thank everybody for sending those in. And remember, keep sending them in. We mentioned all those different ways you can do it. And that's going to do it for this week's show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. And we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.